The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Today we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 27th of June, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, want to talk about air travel in the first half hour, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments about the Tucson International Airport, now would be a great time to make that call, because we have with us Dick Grunzel is here. Dick is the Vice President of Administration and Finance. He's the Chief Financial Officer at the Tucson Airport Authority, which of course is the umbrella organization for the main Tucson International Airport. And Dick, welcome.
Great. Thank you, Bill.
It's great to see you. You're all tan back from your trip to the Bahamas. I kind of wanted to follow your lead this time. I did 11 days before you in the Bahamas, and you and I had talked so much about it. We thought, let's see what this is all about.
Yeah, my wife and I spent 8 days along with our daughter and son-in-law. And what was so great about it is the new flight that American added to Charlotte last February. We took that flight. It's a red eye.
Yeah.
So, I was able to work a full day of work on Friday.
Right.
Take the flight on Friday night.
Yep.
Arrive in Charlotte the next morning. We were literally on the beach in the Bahamas by about 12:30 in the afternoon the following day on Saturday. That's just incredible.
Oh, my goodness. And our friend Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, he recently took the same flight, but he was going to New York City. So Ray took the red eye to Charlotte. And Ray, you were in New York City by midday? Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfect.
You can't beat it.
So it's interesting because our flight back from the Bahamas, from Dallas to Tucson, was the last American flight of the day into Tucson. That was the crew that was going to turn it around in Tucson and go on to Charlotte with the red eye.
And that was the same thing we had when we came back. It was the last flight, and it turns right around and goes to Charlotte.
And what was encouraging is when we got off the plane at TUS, there was a lot of people waiting, and it was late at night, and you don't normally see that. They were all ready to go to Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, the flight is doing very well, and those are the kinds of things. I mean, it's only been running for 5 or 6 months now, but with people getting on those planes and filling those seats, those are the kinds of things that are just going to keep the momentum going, and the airlines adding more flights.
And that's about a 4.5 hour flight?
Something like in that range, yeah.
So then you made the change in Charlotte, and then you're in the Bahamas ready for your for your rum punch by the noon hour. So how do you beat
one or
that?
Two?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Passenger traffic looks good.
It's been great. I mean, in May, which is the most recent numbers we have, we were up 6% on passengers year over year, and that made 23 months in a row of year over year increases in passenger numbers. So far in 2018 through May year to date, we're up about 4.7% over 2017. And, and that follows an increase last year in the range of 5 or 6%. So, we really are in growth mode right now, and it's great to see after kind of a long stretch after the recession that things are finally coming back.
Are most airports showing some kind of growth, or is that kind of the trend right now?
I think most airports are seeing growth, and I think, the larger airports were the quicker to recover after the recession, at the expense of airports like us. But lately, in the last couple of years, it's really been kind of the smaller airports and medium-sized airports that have really started growing even faster than the larger airports. So it is, you know, kind of a trend, and it just shows that, you know, there is a lot of demand for travel out there that's not, hasn't been met, and the airlines are recognizing that, and they're adding planes to their fleet and giving us opportunities to add new destinations.
And of course, every market is different because you're always in touch with your colleagues across the country at different airports around the country. I was just thinking, reflecting on the New York Times article about an airport. This might have come out when you were down in the Bahamas, and you probably weren't reading the New York Times every day. But anyway, it was about the Memphis airport, and they're struggling because at one time they were like they were this huge hub.
Yeah, they had been a hub for Northwest Airlines, which then got acquired by Delta. And you know, within a couple of years after Delta took over Northwest, I mean, they essentially totally de-hubbed Memphis. And I mean, I think their passenger numbers dropped by something in the neighborhood of 60% to 70% or something like that.
Wow.
And so they've really had to entirely remake, you know, what their airport is and what the function of, because most of the passengers going through that airport were connecting passengers and not people who actually lived in Memphis or were going to Memphis. Mm.
Well, luckily that is not our problem here in Tucson. Southwest is back in the game here in Tucson. They were kind of went through a period, Dick Runzel, a year or so ago. There was some reorganization, maybe a year and a half ago. Kind of looked at all of, they took a hard look at pretty much all of their airports, and now I think Tucson's going to come through shining pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, at their peak, you know, back before the recession, Southwest here in Tucson had been up to something in the neighborhood of, you know, 23 flights per day or something in that neighborhood. And then after the recession, when all the airlines cut flights and then kind of a change in business model with Southwest, we went down to about 11 or 12 per day. But then in the last couple of years, they've really kind of, you know, as you said, gotten back in the game here. Mm-hmm. And just recently now, a few weeks ago, with their latest schedule release, that starts November 4th, they're going to be adding a nonstop flight to San Jose. Mm-hmm. And that joins Alaska Airlines, which currently just actually last August added a flight to nonstop to San Jose. So going from nothing to San Jose to, we're going to have two competing airlines on that route. So that's really, really fantastic. And, you know, when you have the airlines competing like that on the same route, look for some great fare deals on that one.
And Alaska has been happy with the daily service into San Jose. Alaska is still seasonal now up to Portland, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, but this looks very good for San Jose because now, folks, whenever you've got that kind of competition, you're going to get some great fares. And again, Southwest will add that additional flight. Well, actually, all that starts November 4th,
starting
right?
November 4th.
But now we have Las Vegas also being added into the mix.
Right. You know, Southwest with Las Vegas has kind of, you know, been a little up and down in terms of the number of flights per day. I mean, I think, you know, back again, back in the heyday, I think they all had, I think, as many as six flights per day to Vegas. But they had reduced that down to three. And then again, with this latest schedule release, now they've brought that back up again to four per day. So obviously they're responding to what is clearly strong demand in Tucson for flights to Las Vegas.
Southwest is really in an expansion mode, and I don't know if they've got the final approval yet, but for the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, they're still working on their approvals.
And there's still some questions because of the aircraft they're using for the 2,500-mile flight, basically, five-hour flight over to Honolulu.
Yeah, they have to, any airline that wants to fly from the mainland to Hawaii with all of that flight time over water with basically no you know, airport that you can just land at in 10 minutes or anything. They have to get go through a lot of different certifications and review of manuals and all that. So that is quite a long process that they are working through. But they've already announced, you know, at least if not schedules, what the cities in the U.S. are going to be in the airports in Hawaii that they're going to be flying to.
And that is not out of the question now then for Tucsonans who want to connect with Southwest to Hawaii.
Certainly not. I believe San Diego was one of the the cities that they're going to be flying to Honolulu and possibly even some of the other islands like Kauai or Maui. Definitely with our two flights per day from Tucson to San Diego on Southwest, undoubtedly there will be connecting opportunities there to the islands.
What's going on with Southwest to Oakland?
You know, for a couple of years now, they've been kind of experimenting with Oakland, you know, in certain seasons, both over the summer as well as over the, you know, the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday seasons with either, you know, one or two flights per week. Again, they're going to be resuming that on October 7th with a weekly Sunday flight to Oakland. That's one where we really are kind of hoping that that can kind of grow into a daily year-round service. But obviously they liked San Jose better at this point, but same area. You know, we'll take anything we can get, obviously, from Southwest and obviously a very popular airline with our customers here in Tucson.
All right, we're going to pause right here. And Dick, you're from Wisconsin, right?
Yes, I am.
So you know about the Danish Kringles.
They're
a big deal. And, of course, my favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, and they do a really nice Danish Kringle. And Mona's is up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Let's face it. I'm from the Chicago area. You're from Wisconsin. We would have a bakery on almost every corner growing up.
That is true.
In the Midwest. I don't know what it is, but I love bakery goods.
I grew up in Madison, but for a while after I got out of school, I worked in Racine, Wisconsin, which is kind of just the capital of the Danish population in Wisconsin, just a little bit north of Chicago. So, yes, I'm very familiar with the Kringles.
Were you, by chance, working in a bakery in Racine?
No, I was not. Although I spent a lot of time in the bakery, but I wasn't working there.
Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise for Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's there and all of our great sponsors. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, plus state school superintendent candidate Republican Frank Riggs. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030. KVOI have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. Green Things will soon be the home of Zocalo. Zocalo's got great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America at a greatly reduced sale price near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. So rather than move all the merchandise over to River Road and to Green Things, they'd like to sell the merchandise right now at a greatly reduced price. So check out Zocalo, and they'll soon be over at their new home on River Road, the 13 acres of Green Things. It's our quarterly Tucson Air Service update here on the Buckmaster Show. Dick Grunzel is here, the Chief Financial Officer, and Matthew is joining us on the live line. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dick. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, you know, I sit in a couple meetings, and one is with the county and one is with the city, and it's very rare for me to see an issue come up on both agendas. And the issue regards what's the status of the Air National Guard main gate. I've never knew there was an issue, but I've been researching it, and everybody I talk to points their fingers at you guys.
Huh.
And I don't know if you guys have a role in this or not, but could you brief us, the community, as to why the Air National Guard gate apparently is still an issue that it keeps, you know, the being an ex-reservist, not in the Guard, but in the Reserves Army. I know what it's like to sit in a queue to get into a gate.
Okay.
Do you guys have any play in that? Thank you.
Let's see what. Thanks, Matthew. Let's see what Dick knows about the Air National Guard.
We certainly do. Have some involvement in that, since the location for the proposed new gate is actually on property that's owned by the Tucson Airport Authority. So, but we have been working and continue to work with the Air National Guard on this project. And it's just, frankly, it's just something that's just kind of going through the process. I mean, it's, we are strong supporters of the Guard, as well as the Air Force for that matter. It's just working with the FAA, because it is airport property, is kind of a federal government bureaucracy, unfortunately, but we are subject to a lot of rules and regulations and do the type of transaction that's necessary in order to make the land available for the Guard is just taking a while. But we are working on it, and we're confident that it's going to be happening in the near future.
It's a joint use airport, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah. Right.
Is that fairly common around the country?
It is fairly common.
Okay.
There are at certain Guard bases, the federal government might actually own the airport, and the community actually kind of just uses it on behalf of the community. But in other cases, airports, own the property, and then the Guard essentially, just uses it. And it is, as you said, it's a joint use airport.
Mm-hmm. All right. One thing I noticed during our recent vacation going in and out of Tucson International Airport, the real change with going through security, it's completely different. And we had a great experience going through. It was very easy early in the morning. And all the new vendors.
Yeah. Really over the last 6 months or so, as the different shops have opened up, anyone who hasn't been in the airport in the last 6 months or so, you're hardly going to recognize it. It started with actually the security checkpoints, which were relocated into much roomier locations, much brighter. It's not like a dark cave anymore going through the TSA security checkpoints.
And it's funneled into a central location, which is really
right.
Easy to use.
Yeah. But, in particular, the food and beverage outlets, the local aspect to it has been extremely popular. Some of Tucson's, best known restaurants are opening locations in the airport, from El Charro Cafe to Cervezas to Empire Pizza.
Noble Hops.
Noble Hops, Beyond Bread. Within the next several weeks, a couple more are going to be opening up. On the Acon course, you'll be seeing the Maverick.
Really?
Bar. Wow. and restaurant.
Iconic Tucson structure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on the Beacon course, you'll be seeing Thunder Canyon Brew Stillery opening up. So everything has been extremely well received. And, one thing that was actually kind of nice is the Airports Council International North America every year has an award program for
really?
They have airport
they have
concessions.
A competition among the airports for concessions?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Just a couple of weeks ago at the conference where they announced the awards, our program here in Tucson for the food and beverage won second place nationwide for best food and beverage program in the small airport category.
I would love to be one of the judges in that competition because think how cool that would be. You fly around to the different airports and try out all the different kind of unique. Because airports now are trying to have kind of signature items that say Tucson or wherever you are, Portland or anything.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
kind of the trend.
It
right?
is definitely the trend. Yeah. Is you want to make the place not only familiar to the people who live in Tucson, but you also want to show the best of what Tucson has to offer to all of the visitors coming in. I think we've really, frankly, hit it out of the ballpark with this program that we have, and it's something that everyone in Tucson should really be proud of.
Any construction work that we should know about? Airport runway work or anything?
Not anything significant.
It seems like
right
you
now.
Go to every airport in the United States, and there is construction, which is a good thing, I guess.
But, well, there is going to be something pretty significant, but people won't be seeing it probably for another couple of years.
What's that?
There's going to be some major airfield work. We're actually going to be building a second primary commercial and military grade runway to go along with the existing main runway that we have.
Is there room for that?
Well, it'll be actually replacing a smaller general aviation runway.
That's on the side there?
That's on the west side of the airport, right.
Okay.
And so that is going to be the biggest, and other things that go along with it, but that is going to be the biggest project in the history of Tucson International Airport.
Whoa. And the airport just, that's a long time because you guys are celebrating your 70th year.
Correct.
We haven't mentioned the other airport that is in your portfolio. We always kind of overlook it, but a lot of people love it.
Yes. Ryan Airfield is an airport that we operate as well. It's located about 10 miles west of Tucson International at the intersection of Valencia Road and Ajo Highway. Mm-hmm. It's a very busy general aviation airport. A lot of tenants out there, a lot of private hangars where people, keep their small mm-hmm. aircraft. A nice restaurant out there
I've
to serve the community
that.
As well. Richie's Cafe.
Richie's. Very popular at lunch.
Exactly, and breakfast as well. Mm-hmm. So check that out if you're ever in the area. It's a really nice looking, neat. People are really proud of that airport.
All right. And what is the website?
FlyTucson.com is the website.
All right. Dick Grunzel, always a pleasure, and safe travels to you, my friend.
All right. Thank
Thanks
you. You
lot.
Too.
12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Back. When it heats up here in Tucson, how about a trip to Silver City? It's 15 degrees cooler over there because of their elevation. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive approximately from the Tucson area. Our friend Dr. Mark Sneller is here for 16 years. He was pretty much the guy. He was the guy for pollen and mold, giving us those daily readings. But because of all sorts of, primarily financial cutbacks, Dr. Sneller's services were no longer required in that area. Good to see you, Mark.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Bill. Always.
Even though your services were not required in that area, you certainly have been built up a terrific reputation doing consulting with people about their homes and do they have problems with mold, and on it goes. But that's the one side of Dr. Mark Sneller. Then there's this new career that he has launched, a literary career. Four books going on six.
Yes. I should respond to that.
Well, yeah, don't give me yes and no answers. This is your opportunity.
To make a name for myself. Yeah,
make a name for yourself.
That's right.
And plug your four books. Can you remember them off the top of your
head? Well, the four one, Breath of Fresh Air was a prelude to A Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air, which is really a classic. They're all out on Amazon. You can look up my name and all that. Another one is Toxic Exposure. That was on based on a trial where a scientist got sued because he didn't find any mold in the home, and everybody in the book is a charlatan except for the scientist.
And that is a plausible kind of plot.
Yes. Oh, it's very. I can testify to the fact it's very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another one is Dying to Read, in which it's a terrorist novel in which terrorists poison the ink of newspapers so that readers who handle the ink become get fungal toxin in their systems.
Ooh.
And that was that's
I hope that one isn't good. So plausible.
Yeah. Possible deniability.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next one is the working title now is The Virus from Mars, in which a scientist and his geologist friend drill into this meteorite that the geologist found in Antarctica, which is true. They find those things. And this one came from Mars, ostensibly, and that's we do those things too. Mm-hmm. But the scientist comes up with some kind of simplistic concoction and actually grows life. He unstoppers the flask, and this virus gets loose and infects everything on the planet that has DNA, and which includes 10 million species of life that we have. And so it's a story of changing ecosystems and changing life. And then the other one after that, I don't have a title for it yet, but it's a collection of different, just an eclectic mix of different writings of mine, from adventure stories to mold stories to travel adventures and such.
Were you like writing as a kid or?
I was.
Yeah.
I wrote when I was.
Poetry, you start with that? Or?
Really. If you want to call it that. Yeah. No, I started with one page short stories, and the teacher would embarrass me in junior high school. I'd show them to her, and she says, "You need to stand up in front of the class, Marky, and read these." And Marky would be embarrassed and read them, and everybody looked at me kind of funny back in junior high school in those days, and as they still might. And I was very embarrassed and sat down, and but that was my first writing that occurred.
Were you kind of a nerdy kid, or
not particularly?
Just sort of. Into sports or?
I was just pretty, just kind of a laid-back kid. I wasn't nerdy. I wasn't totally adventurous or anything. I was probably middle of the road, possibly leaning toward the nerdy side, but I was also a fairly gregarious guy, so I was okay.
Did you come from a scientific family?
No, not at all.
Because you went on to get a PhD, for goodness sakes.
No, my grandparents came from Russia.
Uh-huh.
And so they raised me from the age of three until I was early 20s, and then I left the house, went overseas a couple of years to India, and got into microbiology and all that, and furthered my education, and just kind of worked my way through school and made it happen.
Is this fertile ground for microbiology? Excuse me, Tucson, is it fertile ground for a microbiologist?
Anywhere is fertile ground if there's a fertile imagination, but but in terms of reality, it's no different than any other area. We've got, I wouldn't say necessarily any more than anywhere else. We do have our respiratory issues for as far as that goes, and pollen and mold and that kind of thing. Everybody's got those, but we have our seasons, and we've got one coming up.
Well, when people came out here in the 20s, after World War I, they were coming out here in many cases for their health.
Mm-hmm.
How has all of that changed?
Well, actually, it's changed for the better because I was fortunate enough to be instrumental in the creation of Ordinance 1984-29, which is instituted by Pima County Board of Supervisors, and that said that no more olive trees or mulberry trees shall be planted in the county unless there's a certain variety of olive. Mm-hmm. And so that actually stabilized the amount of springtime pollen we had from both of those trees because the plantings didn't continue anymore.
But they were all over the place.
They were, and they still are. I mean, olives live forever, almost.
Yeah.
And they're still very heavy in some neighborhoods, and we get a lot of pollen from them. They're still allergenic, as long as they produce, mm-hmm. and depends on the wind currents and like that, the climate of the day. And so the weather of the day, that's being said, we've got monsoons coming up, and mm-hmm. that's going to affect our fall pollen season, which is a weed season as opposed to the trees and ragweed in the spring for
us. It's kind of an odd year, isn't it, though, that 2-inch rain, which was so nice to get a couple of
weeks
ago.
Yeah, I don't know, is that affecting anything,
though?
You don't
think that? That was just kind of let's breathe a sigh of relief for the plants. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
It's like we really need this to tie this over to the monsoon. But you think this is going to be right now, is there anything that we should keep an eye on?
I don't see anything looming. I think every year is a surprise. I remember a couple of years ago when it was forecast it's going to be a terrible monsoon.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. It was the driest year. And then it was another year they said it's going to be the wettest year in history, and we didn't have any rain. So I never know. All I know is when we get into July and August and we start having rains, then that's going to the amount of ragweed. I don't mean that. Well, there's a certain, we do have some fall ragweeds, but the amount of weed pollen and weeds that we get is directly related to the amount of rain.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's true for spring ragweed as well, if we have winter rains. But for coming up, if we have a lot of rain, we're going to be looking at careless weed, which is those tall green plants with stalks that can get up 5-6 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
average about 4, but they get up there. We can also have some fall ragweed in the mountains, and those are rife with ragweed areas. We'll have some Russian thistle, and we'll have a number of other ragweed species that show up. We can have a lot of desert broom, which comes up later in the year, and that produces those white cottony fluffy.
Oh, yes.
See,
yes.
Those are the seeds, but before that is in October,
uh-huh.
it produces a lot of pollen. The pollen and the plant is in the ragweed family.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have symptoms and you're
allergic
to these allergens, mm-hmm. then you could be reactive in October.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then the white cottony stuff goes floating around, and we don't think that's very troublesome.
Years ago, when we were early in my career living in Las Vegas, I had that whole workup of where they do, they test you, the skin test, you know. There must have been like 60 or 70 little pinpricks that they put on my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones that really came back that I was allergic to is sagebrush.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
i.e. Russian thistle? Is there a different name?
No, it's a different name. It's a different plant.
Okay.
Different type of plant. But that's not really a major species for us. What I want to say here, though,
go ahead.
To interject, mm-hmm. is that what we're finding out now is that when plants degrade,
mm-hmm.
they degrade. They biologically degrade. Weather degrades them. They become mm-hmm. fragmented. They become airborne with wind and tracking on the shoes. When those degradative products, processes, they're the roots, the stems, the leaves, when they break down into little microscopes, they have the same antigens as the pollen does.
Yeah,
so
really?
You can react to ragweed or juniper or birch 6 months after the plant has flowered.
So who knows if those tests are really all that worthwhile?
Well,
I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to say, who knows, and leave it like
who
that.
Who knows anything anymore? Whatever we know today, we forget tomorrow. It changes so much. I even lecture to colleges about myths and false beliefs.
Okay. Why don't we bring you back to talk about myths and false beliefs?
We can do that.
It's always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you very much. What about the books? Where can people find out more about you? Amazon?
Amazon. They're on there. Also, marksneller.com or markrsneller.com is my website, and you can find out all the more than you need to know about me and my background.
So Sneller is originally a Russian name?
Well, no, it's not. My Russian
grandparents'
name was Kodish, but my father's father was German.
Uh-huh.
So I'm 7/8 Russian and 1/8 German.
All right. Well, it's good to see you, whatever you are. All right. Coming up next, Rodney Glassman, candidate for Arizona Corporation Commission. We'll talk with Rodney right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030, and of course, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Let's welcome now on the live line Rodney Glassman. 40 years old, he's crammed a lot of living into that 40 years. Mr. Glassman, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill, and from up in Phoenix, it's great to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you very much. I've been around a while, as they say, 30 years here in town on the air. Of course, Rodney Glassman, I first met Mr. Glassman when he was a member of the Tucson City Council. He then ran in 2010 for the U.S. Senate. Again, in those runs, he was a Democrat. Acting town manager, Cave Creek, Arizona, and now Arizona Corporation Commission candidate. So the obvious question is, why did you switch parties from Democrat to Republican?
Well, Bill, thank you for that. And actually, I grew up in a Republican household. So I went from Republican to Democrat in my 20s and early 30s, and then grew back into the Republican that my parents raised me to be. Since you have been in Tucson for 30 years, you'll appreciate the story. At the age of 19, I moved to Tucson. I was running the ice skating rink over on the east side of town. I wanted to get involved in the community. I had been invited to join the board of the Boy Scouts. And it was sitting in our late mayor, George Miller's office, when he sat me down and said, Rodney, if you're going to be involved in this community, you need to be a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And so at the age of 19, I switched from Republican to independent and within a year to Democrat because the mayor said that's what I need to do to be involved in the community. And I was engaged in the community in a number of ways, as you know, with the Boy Scouts and the Jewish community and the Glassman Foundation and worked in the private sector. And it wasn't until after I got married to my law school sweetheart, had two daughters and spent about 6 years in the Air Force as a JAG reservist before someone asked me, why are you a Democrat? And when I told them the story of Mayor Miller, the late Mayor Miller, the next question was, well, what do you care about? And when I responded with Israel, defense, and taxes, what I all of a sudden realized was that I had grown up and I was a member of the wrong party.
Were you just named to represent veterans in Arizona? What's that all about? I saw something around that on Facebook.
So as you know, I'm a major now in the U.S. Air Force JAG Corps Reserve. So I am a veteran. Hmm. And since 2010, I've been a member of one of the largest veterans groups in the state, the American Legion. And we're very fortunate that we have over 35,000 members in the American Legion across the state of Arizona of the over 500,000 veterans in Arizona. And 3 years ago, I was appointed by the then commander for the American Legion to serve, Commander Ellis out of Phoenix, to serve as the judge advocate, which is a volunteer position for the executive committee of the Arizona Department of the American Legion. And this past Sunday, I was appointed by my third commander now, actually Steve Aguirre from Tucson, we call him Chico, our newest commander from Green Valley, reappointed me as a judge advocate for the entire state. So it's just another form of community service that I enjoy doing, helping our veterans.
You know, I'm just guessing, being here a long time, most people, when we talk about the Arizona Corporation Commission, the eyes glaze over. They don't know what they do. They don't know how many members they have. But really, they're probably, for the consumer, the most important agency we have.
And those were the good old days when the eyes used to glaze over. And
right.
You know, now what most Arizonans know about the Corporation Commission is what they read about in the newspaper or what they see on TV, and that's indictments, bribery, drugs in the bathroom, campaigns funded by the utilities that the commissioners are supposed to regulate. And what most people don't realize is that the Corporation Commission, Bill, was created as Arizona's fourth branch of government. Hmm. At the time of statehood, it was determined that there were certain public services that were so important that they should be regulated by elected officials, energy, water, telecommunications, pipelines, and trains. And that's why the Corporation Commission was created. Ironically, it was to protect the ratepayer. And you look at it today, and so my campaign, and your listeners can visit rodneyglassman.com, my website, to learn about that. But my entire campaign is focused on restoring integrity at the commission. And my proposal is to get the commissioners to adopt the same code of conduct that every other judge in the state follows. It's called the Arizona Code of Judicial Conduct, because if you look back, the commission was there to protect ratepayers, and they are not doing a good job, and that is why I'm running.
And how many seats are open?
There will be two seats available this November. I'm running in a Republican primary with five Republicans. I'm proud to be the only candidate running that has ever served a day in the military. I'm proud to be the only candidate running with a track record of nonprofit service and the only candidate running with over 20 years of private sector experience. So my background, including my PhD in arid land resource sciences from the University of Arizona, which means water, and 80% of the hearings at the commission are on water, my background really allows me to stand head and shoulders above the competition, and that's why I'm proud of the support that I've been receiving from across the state.
And what are you doing? You're working for a law firm, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm okay. A practicing attorney at a law firm in Phoenix called mm-hmm. Buse Gilbert. Mm-hmm. I developed my own legal practice around business law, which includes clients such as U-Haul, Mobile Mini, NASCAR, Phil Francis, who's the retired chairman and CEO of PetSmart. So I've got a thriving legal practice. Our daughters are 7 and 5 now. My wife is still practicing law as well. But when it comes to the Corporation Commission, we need people that are going to restore integrity. And Bill, because of the community work that started in Tucson and is now and up in Phoenix, we're still writing our children's books. We've distributed over 250,000 free children's books since that first book we wrote at the Tucson Festival of Books. And that's why I have the support of not only, you know, many business people in Tucson, like Arnie Jacobson from Sunland Foods, Lucky Wishbone, and Brent Kite from Pizza Hut, and mayors like Mayor Honey from Marana, but also new friends like the mayor of Scottsdale. Jim Lane has endorsed me, John Giles, the mayor of Mesa. It's when you run on integrity and water, and you got a 20-year track record of having integrity and knowing about water, it's a lot of fun. So I'm enjoying the process.
You came from a prominent family in the Fresno area. I spent a little time early in my career in Tulare County at the radio station in Visalia, California, and I know about agriculture and how important it is. Were your parents conservative Republicans?
They are conservative Republicans. My mother is a dentist. My father is a farmer. And it's that agricultural background that was what originally got me involved in public service in Tucson. If you remember, I worked for the congressman down in Tucson, but I was his legislative aide for business and agriculture. It was my job to help him build relationships with all the people he didn't know. And now at age 40, I'm running for office statewide for Corporation Commission. It's great because I have the support of a number of the leading ag people in the state because of my days serving on the State Farm Bureau Board and because of the work I did when I was in my early 20s, because they always knew that I was cut out to someday be a Republican, not only in spirit, but also registration.
So were you the youngest candidate to run for the U.S. Senate in Arizona?
I have no idea. Oh, all I know is that I was 32. We hadn't mm-hmm. had our first daughter yet. Mm-hmm. And what I remember about that, and maybe you do too, is remember I had that crazy four-way Democratic primary.
Oh, yes.
Because the Democrats could sniff out even back then. I wasn't liberal enough for them, and they had already started their identity politics, so I wasn't the female, and I wasn't the Latino. And mm-hmm. so we had that four-way primary, but it was because of the business leaders in Tucson and because of community friends in Tucson and because, once again, I was in a race where I was the only one with a real long track record of service mm-hmm. and business, we were able to win that. So a candidate in a contested primary out of Tucson won statewide, and it should have been a hint that I was in the wrong party, but it took a little bit longer, but eventually it happened, and I'm very proud. I'm very happy.
Are you doing any of your vocal work?
I do the occasional national anthem when invited. I've done a few funerals mm-hmm. and a couple weddings, and my two claims to fame, Bill, I like to say I've never written a will that's ever been used, and I've never sang in a wedding that's ever ended in divorce.
Okay.
And I've been doing it now for 10 years on each side, so that's a good thing.
Have you had any debates on this Corporation Commission with your opponents yet?
There are some candidate forums that we've had. We have a televised Clean Elections debate tomorrow night. The nice thing, the chair of my campaign is a fellow named Bill Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
He's the Maricopa County attorney.
Right.
And one of the nice things that he always reminds me is, though there are five of us in the race, there's really only one candidate running on the issue of integrity with mm-hmm. a plan to restore integrity through the Judicial Code of Conduct, which is at our website, rodneyglassman.com. And I'm also, believe it or not, Bill, the only statewide candidate running this election cycle with a background in natural resources because
really?
of my my water degree. And as you know, with the retirement of Senator John Kyle, we no longer have an Arizona water guy. Mm-hmm. And that is why I've been able to receive some of the support, such as the Speaker of the Arizona House, mm-hmm. J.D. Mesnard, who spoke along with Secretary of State Michelle Reagan at my campaign kickoff. And what he said was, Rodney knows about water. Rodney's mm-hmm. got a track record of integrity, and we need more statewide elected officials interested in Arizona's most important issue, which is water. And that is why he decided to join and support my campaign.
All right, Rodney Glassman. And again, your website is?
RodneyGlassman.com. Your listeners can read the actual proposal to adopt the judicial code of conduct that I've put before the commission, because I believe that the commissioner should hold themselves to the exact same standards as every other judge in the state of Arizona.
All right. Mr. Glassman, always a pleasure. Thank you, Rodney.
Always great to hear your voice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much. Coming up now on 1 minute before 1 o'clock, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check, Mike Shaw, and Ray Allen teaming up together from 4 to 6. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow from 6 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. We've got Councilman Cunningham will be joining us tomorrow on the program. Of course, we'll be talking on what's the latest with the whole Benedictine Monastery. That will be one of our big issues, talking with Mr. Cunningham tomorrow. I think he's going to be with me here in studio. So we'll do it again tomorrow. I enjoy it. And 24 hours from now, or 23 hours from now, back with you. Have a great afternoon and evening.